y'all. We're back with Family Stories. I'm here with my husband, Ronnie. I'm Brian, and we're so excited to be talking about family stories with a special guest today.
Yes, we have someone that I've really recently got reacquainted with, and the more that we sat and talked, oh my goodness, the things that were flowing out of this guy, one after the other. So when we had this opportunity to do a show about family stories, this is a perfect fit as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. He's known me since I was a little girl.
Born.
Since
you were born. Oh, wow.
You and your sister.
Right. We go
okay, let's tell those family stories now. Here we go.
Your mom and dad was my youth pastors.
Right. So here we go. So tell everybody who we're with.
Yeah. So this is Zane Foster. Zane is right now, he's in our process of ordination, which is awesome. This is something that he's had, I'll let him tell you more about his life or whatever, but he's had other work, you know, kind of secular work all of his life or whatever, has always in his own heart had a desire for ministry and all that kind of thing. But then recently, you know, kind of doors have opened up for him to be part of, as an ordained minister. I'm excited for that for him. And for his family, I know his family's very pumped up and excited about it too.
Yes, we are. Very excited.
So Zane, tell us a little bit about you and your family. Just give us a little bit of a rundown there.
My name's Zane Foster and I'm 55 years old and I'm married to my wife, Rhonda Foster. I have one daughter, one grandchild. My daughter's name is Kayla Vance and my son-in-law is Anthony Vance.
So Zane, does that ever, you know my dad, and my dad had two girls. So hearing you say your daughter's maiden name,
how does Anthony feel about that? Tell me.
How does that roll off as a dad who, you know, I'm a daddy's girl. I know Kayla's a daddy's girl. Mm-hmm. How is that just, because Kayla's been married for how long now?
5 years.
5 years. And you're still calling her your foster last name. How is that for a dad? Break it down for us.
I'm just correct. I catch myself and correct myself on it. she's actually, her husband works for a company that he has to be out of town late hours. And so with the baby being 15 months old, she's been staying at our house the last two nights. And so I've been getting poppy time with my baby princess Buttercup Scarlet.
And with that adorable squishy smile.
Yeah, with that squishy smile and her scared smile, or her scary, what she thinks is a scary smile. But anyway, still calling my daughter Kayla Foster. She probably, I catch myself and have to readjust. And
I think it would have to be partly a blessing, partly tough for dads to
it is
share that new last name.
Something I'm never going to experience with my three boys.
Right, we've got the boys.
It's she'll always be my baby girl.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those things that when I look at her, I still call her Kayla Foster at times. I went to post something on Facebook the other day and couldn't find her name because I couldn't find the Foster. But it's Vance, and it's been almost 5 years. And
you're catching up.
I'm catching up. It's just I just mark it up as being old. But I call Anthony my son. They laugh at me. Because I'll catch myself, but she knows I love her and he knows I love him.
Right.
So it's Kayla Vance. But she's always daddy's girl, so, you know.
Yes.
But
now, you know, that was a lot of the feelings that you're feeling there, I think are even, I mean, of course, they're natural as a father or whatever. Yeah. But I think for you, maybe even sometimes more so, because, you know, you and Kayla really had a very kind of tumultuous journey at first. Can you tell us a little bit about that testimony?
Yeah, Rhonda and I wasn't sure we could have children. We spent money to get tested that we basically didn't have. Mm. And Kayla, we found out she was, Rhonda and I actually got into an argument the day we found out she was pregnant because Rhonda didn't want to take a pregnancy test. And I wanted her to because I kept telling her, you need to take a pregnancy test. And I don't want to.
So you were sensing it?
Yeah, yeah, I was sensing it. She was, well, we tried for 7 years
right,
to have a child.
Sometimes you don't want to face what could be potential disappointment.
Right, right, right.
Again.
Right. Yeah. Every pregnancy test, she cried. Every Mother's Day, she cried. Mm. That's how bad we wanted.
Wow.
And right. So come find out we're pregnant. We're going to have Kayla. And in the process of that happening, Kayla's grandfather, Rhonda's daddy, passed away. Mm. We found at 18 weeks, we found out it was a girl. He passed away when Kayla, like the following week.
Okay.
He never even found out. I mean, you know, he knew she was pregnant, but we never actually got to tell him that what Kayla actually was, that it was a girl. And yeah, and so Kayla came at 21.
But he did know about the wonderful thing.
Yeah,
the
he knew baby
That's
was
great.
Coming. Yeah. And at 21 weeks, here came Kayla. One pound.
So 18.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so wait. Yeah. So let's stop right there. So this timeline and really miracle goes that at 18 weeks, you found out that you were having a girl.
Right.
After years of trying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at about 20 weeks.
In between 21 and 24 weeks. They called her. Certain doctors would say she was a 21-weeker. Some doctors would say she was 24 weeks.
Right, but at 19
developmentally,
weeks,
right. Yeah.
You lost your...
Rhonda's daddy.
Rhonda's
yeah.
daddy.
Yeah.
And then found out that here she is having the baby.
Yeah, yeah. And so Kayla come along at 1 pound 4 ounces, 4 months Ooh. Premature.
1 pound 4 ounces.
Yeah. Yeah, put that in perspective, a loaf of bread weighed 2 ounces more than Scarlett, or than Kayla did.
Right.
She was a quarter of an inch shorter than a ruler. And I wear a size 12 wedding band, and you could literally, they wouldn't let me do it, but literally her hand measured inside my wedding band. And
wow.
If you take a Bic ink pen apart and pull out the cartridge on the inside of it, her fingers were smaller than that.
Oh, wow.
And so we stuck to our faith, and they actually wanted to abort her. One of the doctors, the main doctor, was like, well, we have several procedures we can do, but I highly recommend just stopping it. And I'm trying to be a new dad. Didn't read no books, but I'm trying to be a new dad and thinking, oh, Lord, I'm making life and death decisions. I didn't think, I got another four
right.
months
welcome,
before I even have to do this,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
And Rhonda, she came up out of bed and she said, you'll have my baby, you'll deliver my baby, and we'll let God sort it out in the end. And I was like, hallelujah.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I was just like, because I was not being dumb or not being stupid in the situation.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think ahead.
Right.
Like, what's he recommending?
But I, just hearing you describe that, I'm so thankful for the partners that God
yeah.
gives us and
yes.
those helpmates that
yes.
at times when, you know, she can step up and say, we are having this baby
yep.
and relying on our faith. And at other times, she might be crying and
yep.
you're able to step up in
yep.
Faith and being able to lead. But that's just another beautiful thing that
exactly.
God gives us. And as part of family stories, not even just in marriages, but families provide that for each other. We can lean on each other's faith and strength in tough
And also,
times.
You were, I mean, I can totally relate as a father, like, you were in that moment where you were like making first time father decisions. Like where you start realizing as a father, the moment that you go, they're all kind of counting on me.
Well, and I was also making decisions for Rhonda because Rhonda,
oh yeah,
Kayla was basically pushed out of the womb by fibroid tumors.
Wow.
And so they had to remove all of those before they could even remove the baby.
Yeah. So some
serious... of them just to get her out. Yeah. So she had major surgery and they took me back halfway through it. And they took me back after Kayla came out, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking down at Kayla, and she's all beat up and bruised and stuff, just from the trauma of it all. And I look back and here lays my wife back there on the table.
Right.
And I wasn't worried about my daughter. God gave me a peace about my daughter.
Wow.
And I looked back at my wife, and that was the first time I'd ever seen her vulnerable. I mean, she had taking care of me through a four-wheeler accident that nearly killed me.
Yeah.
She had you know, I just seen this tough woman.
She's a strong lady, full of joy.
Exactly. I stood over at the Old Christ Temple at 1208 Adams Avenue and saw her standing backdropped on that big plate glass window back there. And I looked at Brother Gardner when he was leaving. I said, "That's the girl that God sent me to marry."
Ooh.
And he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, that's like the fourth one this month." Just joking with me. And anyway, I told him, I said, "No, you'll marry us in 4 years." And 3.5 years later, he married us. And wow. So I knew that's who God wanted me to have.
She was marked for you.
Oh, yeah. And I totally believe that if people today would stop and look and say, you know, God, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait for what you're willing to send me, not what I can go out and find. Yeah. And church is a great place to find people, but there are at times, there's not people in church that you should marry even though you go to church with them,
right?
Because they're not for you. That's not who God wants you with.
Yeah.
And I knew that that's who God wanted me with, and I never doubted it. And she has stood that same tenacity, but I'd never seen her that weak.
Yeah.
And I was concerned for her, and I was concerned for Scar or for Kayla, but I was more concerned for Rhonda because I just never seen her that way. And God told me, he said, they'll both be okay.
Wow.
And I had to go back out and sit in the hallway and wait for them to take Rhonda to her room and the baby over to NICU here at Cabell Huntington. And I sat there, and that old Tim McGraw song goes through your head that says, don't take the girl. Don't take the girl. And God said, I don't make deals.
Yeah. Mm.
I do what I do, and they're both okay.
What a promise.
And I sat there and I cried and I said, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you. So there was times that came along that I was worried about, you know, we faced a lot with Kayla. Possibility of her being blind, possibility of her having severe birth defects and stuff like that. And God, just every time we turned around, we stuck to faith and had no doubt in what God's ability was to do. And that's where people need to be when they pray for something, is no doubt.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to be, you're either all in with your faith or you're not. You can't wishy-washy waver around it and be waving like the ocean with it when you move.
Well, I love what you were saying, that what God told you is I don't make deals.
Yeah.
Meaning that, like, what he's really telling you is, like, I'm not kind of debating around trying to figure out what I'm going to do with your life. He said, I've done it. And so I am who I am.
Yeah.
The only changers are us.
Yeah, exactly.
I am who I am.
Exactly.
So you can trust me.
And, wow. And you know, when it was all said and done and Rhonda got to go home, Kayla was there 109 days.
Wow. And did you guys have a name picked out?
Yes.
You did have a name?
We Rhonda's middle name is Kay. My mom's name is Kay, and Rhonda's mom's middle name is Kay.
Okay.
So I named her. Okay. I named her.
For every kiss.
Yeah. So I named her after. Yeah. Every kiss begins with
I'm sorry, Frank. Go get my
whether,
jerk.
Whether it's my mother-in-law, my wife, or my mama giving me a kiss, or now
K.
My daughter kissing me. I named her after the three strongest women I knew. Me and Rhonda did.
Yes.
And we named her that because Rhonda was the strongest lady that I ever married. My mother was the strongest lady that ever gave birth to me. And my mother-in-law was the strongest lady outside of those two. And she did a great job raising Rhonda. And we just thought it was, Rhonda and I talked about it, and it was just fitting to name her Kayla.
Yeah.
And name her after the three strongest women that we knew.
That's I love awesome. That.
Yeah. So.
And strength was needed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To get through those 109 days.
Yeah. We would leave the room up there, NICU. And
109 days. This is something that.
She was in the
NICU. NICU for 109 days. We took her home for 3 weeks. And I went out and played golf one day. It was the first time I'd had a break to go do something for me because I'd already tried to give Rhonda as many breaks as she could, because taking care of a preemie with a heart monitor and breathing monitor and all that stuff, you know, leads and all that.
Right.
She didn't get sleep much because the thing would send off false leads. So we were told, oh, the machine's just not reading right. And after about 2 weeks of having her home, I came home from playing golf one day and she was blue. But when I went into the house, Rhonda looks at me and says, my two aunts and my grandmother's there. And Rhonda looks at me and goes, is she blue? And I was like, honey, you're blue. I've been out sun all day and didn't have my sunglasses, everything. And so after sitting there for about 30 minutes, I looked over at her and she was blue.
Wow.
Everybody else had flesh tone collar, but she was blue. We rushed her back. We were there for another 28 days. And that's when they she almost died the second time.
But, I tell you what, we're going to cliffhangle everybody right on that because I want to pick right back up when we get back. Let's take a break. This is Family Stories.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Okay, we're back with Family Stories with Ronnie and Brian, and we have our guest Zane Foster with us. He's been sharing about his daughter who was born at around 24 weeks, depending on which doctor you ask. And we had just left off kind of on a cliffhanger, we said, with her miracle story that she was blue after having been in the hospital for over 100 days.
Yeah.
And so, Zane, tell us about that. So you rush her to the hospital after she's home at this point and was blue.
They actually released her early.
At least maybe sooner than they should have.
Yeah, the scheduled date was supposed to have been in March or April around Mother's Day, something like that, whenever Mother's Day falls in there, Easter maybe. I've got my time, my holidays messed up. But anyway, she was supposed to have went home then, and they sent her home on Valentine's Day.
Okay, and, well, that's special.
And so we actually had her at the doctor every week because as a preemie, you take them to the hospital, you take them back to the doctor's office every week. And so the doctor told us, we was like, is she gaining weight? Looks like she's gaining too much weight. And they were like, don't you want her to gain weight? That's a good thing. Well, it wasn't weight, it was fluid.
Mm.
And so it was literally smothering her to death. And after about 3 weeks of this, I was out playing golf, came home. Rhonda looks at me and goes, is she blue? And my two aunts are sitting there and they're like, yeah, she blue. She looks blue to us. And I was like, you all look blue to me. I ain't had sunglasses on all day. I've been in the sun. And after I sat there, like I said, for 30 minutes, boom, I looked over and I was like, she's blue. And we scrambled to get her back to the hospital. And they kept her for 28 days. And we almost lost her again. It just the process. And I said, Lord, if you don't do something, my daughter's not going to be here to do whatever it is you want her to do in life. Mm-hmm. And so God did what he did, and totally thankful for her. But she spent another 28 in the hospital, and she had so much fluid on. They were giving her adult dosages of Lasix at 4 pounds, four or 5 pounds.
It's just fascinating to me to hear the conversations between you and God as you're going through all of this, because you know what you're experiencing there, you know, maybe some other people have experienced too, or maybe just in a different form, really. You know, just like when the moment of your greatest hope and desire, which is you having children, turns into the greatest challenge that you've ever experienced, and that is, wow, I didn't realize what it meant to have a child as far as my heart's concerned. And now I'm standing to lose this child.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just all. So it's fascinating for me to hear the conversations that you're having with God in the middle of all of that, because it couldn't be more real. You know, that that you said there before the break about where God's going, like, I'm not making deals with you.
Yeah.
Like, see, that's like that's the reason why we do these family stories, is because, like, right there is it's a post in the ground.
Yeah.
So, like, when Kayla's facing things, like you were talking about, Kayla, you know, we'll talk about it in a moment, where Kayla's wondering if she's going to be able to have kids, you know. But like, that's a post in the ground where she can look back at that story and go, hey, listen, God is good no matter what.
Yeah.
And we just need to get with his program. It's just a powerful thing.
When she was a preemie in an isolette, we were allowed to crack the door open every so often. And when we would leave at night, we would tell her, if you need anything, just tell Jesus. And nurses would stand and laugh at us.
Gave me chills.
Because they were like, you know, she can't talk. And I said, if my God can speak the world into existence and he knew you before you were in your mama's womb, my daughter doesn't have to speak.
Right.
In her little mind, God knows what she's thinking. And if I encourage her to think in her mind to God what she needs and where she's hurting and everything else, and just have her make contact with God, then God can do what the doctors, the nurses, me and her mommy can't do. That's just the way I thought about it.
Yeah, and Rhonda, that's so awesome.
And Rhonda was the same way.
I love that so much. And, you know, as we close, we'll talk a little bit about keep, toss, and donate. But I just wanted to pause and highlight that because I just feel like that's something that you should donate. That was born to, not to use a pun, but that was birthed out of you all going through a tough time with your baby who was, you know, 2 pounds.
Yep.
And telling her to just, if you need anything, talk to Jesus. Yeah. But how much if we can donate that forward to all of the families having babies that we start, you know, when they're on their couple days old, when they're 7 pounds and 2 ounces, or you're just bringing them home and you're whispering to them as you're nursing or laying them in their crib. If you need anything, talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, let's just take that as a little moment to donate.
I'm keeping it if you're donating.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll donate that. That's great, because if you don't teach them while they're young, they're not going to know.
Right.
I think I saw a statistic one time that said if you don't teach them about Jesus and God by the time they're 12, they don't ever stick with it. They don't ever follow.
Yeah.
They follow the things of the world. They don't follow God and Jesus, and it's a very sad situation to me, because I know what we've done for Kayla. And, you know, she went to bed listening to Clint Brown, Michael English.
When you worship me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seriously. That's what, and Kirk Franklin, she went to bed listening to all those singers. That's what she went to bed with as a toddler, because that's what calmed her down for the night.
Wow.
Was just that worship music. Awesome. And we would say bedtimes. And serious, I mean, not deep bedtimes, but it was, you know, just praying with her and teaching her to pray. And she was about 3 or 4 years old. She had a little Bible book. And so I would read Bible stories to her every night. And me and her mom would sit and ask her questions. As a 3, 4, 5 year old child would ask her questions.
I have to be honest, you know, we can say that that's so important and have goals to do it, and at times we do or whatever, but just this week, our 7-year-old was already put to bed, and well, kind of sent to bed. I don't think I officially tucked him in that night. And so he was yelling, "Mom, Mom, Mom," from bed. And I just felt like it was one of those evenings where I felt like all I had heard was "Mom, Mom, Mom," just raining through the house. And so I finally go in there. I'm like, "Baylen, what do you want?" He was like, "A good night hug." And I was like, "Oh, that's on me. Of course you can have a good night hug." So, yes, it's a goal and it's encouragement. But, you know, if you're like me and you're too tired for the whole thing, know that you are okay and just give that baby a hug.
I mean, just think about this, though, because based on what we're saying, you know, if Jesus tells us to have faith like little children, what he's really saying is that they come out pretty connected to him. And from that point on, life either teaches them to keep that connection or to hold it loosely. You know, we're the stupid ones. The babies are the right ones. And if we can stay focused in the middle of and really cultivate that. And it's, I mean, you know, we talked about a lot of times with our kids, like, you know, when they're real little, just the way that they'll look at you and just go, "I just love you."
Right.
Yeah.
And try to get my teenager to do that now. you know, so that open, honest heart or whatever, I really feel like it's from the Lord. And we can cultivate that the best way we know how,
and
all the way
throughout
their
life. Tune into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But what's awesome and the miracle of the story is that, like we talked about at the beginning, Kayla is now married. She's Kayla Vance, as we were referring to her. And she has sweet little Scarlett, who's running around adorable now. And you all awesome as Poppy. And what's Rhonda called?
Nana.
Nana. Poppy and Nana. So that's just so awesome. But as we, what we're talking about earlier about donate, Zane, is there anything we try to do? A keep, toss, and donate. We get that from the HGTV organizers, but we want to apply it to families with a twist. Something that you want to keep or hold dear, maybe something you want to toss or throw out or donate, like we were talking about earlier. You can pick one or whatever you would want to share with what you would keep, toss, or donate.
If I was going to keep anything, it would be build your faith in God. Don't just pull it out like it's a get out of jail free card in Monopoly. Just build on it. Faith is the biggest thing that you can have in this life. And I always say in Christ alone.
Yes.
And people, I've had people say, why do you say in Christ alone? Well, because when
he answers every text message
and comment on Facebook, I love it.
So everything I do, it's followed up. I mean, I preached in Mexico to people and I told them, I said, you got to live life in Christ alone. And people's like, I've had people ask me, why? Why do you say that? Why do you say it? Well, because when nobody on this planet can do anything else for me, I know that God is there. Christ is there by himself for me. He's there for you and Ronnie and Sam. He's there for everybody. And if you can just break yourself down long enough to live in Christ alone and realize that's the first choice you need to go to, that he can do things nobody else can do.
Right.
That's my keep.
Right.
Yeah. That's my keep. And it will always be my keep.
I love that because, you know, it's your anchor and you've lived it. And really, with every comment and text on Facebook or on the phone, you're paying that forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My toss would be just get all the junk out of your life that you can get out. You're always going to have stuff that's going to come up. And Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Kevin's been helping me through some things. I'm learning not to worry about what people have to say or think about me anymore.
Unless it's across the board.
It's basically down to Einstein's 5x5 rule. If it ain't going to matter, if it doesn't matter in 5 years, you doesn't deserve 5 minutes of your time.
Okay.
That's Einstein's philosophy.
Hey,
and
all right.
My donate would be just let the person you want to be tomorrow help the person you are today.
That's awesome.
That's God gave that to me about 15, 16 years ago. And if you can't wake up and look at yourself today, ask the man you want to be or the woman you want to be tomorrow to help you today, because that person is already there. That person, you know, and it's a symbolic thing. It's not a literal, like, I'm in the future, you know.
Right.
I'm not a time jumper or time traveler, but can I make myself better tomorrow than what I am today? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
So what would me tomorrow do that would eliminate what I've done today that could be impacting me and others around me? So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Zane, for your keep, toss, and donate and just everything that you've shared today. We just want to honor you and your ministry and your family.
Thank you.
And your testimony. And we know that truly so much more is to come and awesome things ahead.
That.
So you'll hear much more from Zane, and we're excited about it.
I just knew that this would be a colorful and full time.
Yes,
just to be honest, Pastor Ronnie messaged me this morning. I was supposed to have had a meeting with him about ordination today. And he messaged me and said, can we bump this back to 10:30? Well, I woke up half awake because I'd been up all night. And I didn't read the radio part.
I thought
my ordination meeting was happening. I didn't know I was going to be on the
radio.
That was
a very quick yes you gave me. I really appreciated that.
I was like, yes, sir. You know.
Well, thank you again. And thank you guys for listening. This has been Family Stories.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.